Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatendro Rochana Tu Asit Deva Cha Tushtitadaya Urja Stambadaya Sapta Rishayo Brahmavadina Tatendo Rochanastvasid Devascha Tushitadaya Urja Stambadaya Sapta Rishayo Brahmavadina Tatra. In this Manvantara, Indraha, Indra, Rochana, Rochana, the son of Yajna, to, but, Asit, became, Devaha, demigods, Cha, also, Tushtita Adaya, Tushita and others, Urja, Urja, Stamba, Stamba, Adaya, and others, Sapta, seven, Rishaya, great saints, Brahmavadina, all faithful devotees. So this is text 20 and onward, 8th canto, chapter 1, the Manus, administrators of the universe. During the reign of Swarochisa, the post of Indra was assumed by Rochana, the son of Yajna. Tushita and others became the principal demigods, and Urja, Stamba, and others became the seven saints. All of them were faithful devotees of the Lord. So read on more verses, because there's no purports, there's a history. Vishestu Veda Shirsa Sas Tushita Nama Pat Yabut Tasyam Jagye Tato Devo Vibur It Yabi Vishruta. Veda Shira was a very celebrated rishi. From the womb of his wife, whose name was Tushita, came the avatar named Bibhu. Ashtashiti Sahasrani Munayo ye jitavrataha anva shiksan vratam tasya komara brahmacharina. Vibhu remained a brahmachari and never married throughout his life. From him 88,000 other saintly persons took lessons on self-control, austerity, and similar behavior. Chitiya uttamonama Priyavrata Sutomanu Pavana Shinjayo Yagya Potradyas Tat Sutanripa. O King, the third Manu, Uttama, was the son of King Priyavrata. Among the sons of Manu was Pavana, Shrinjaya, and Yagya Hotra. Vishishta Tanaya Sapta Rishaya Pramadadaya Satya Veda Shuta Bhadra Deva Indras to Satyajit. During the reign of the third Manu, Pramada and other sons of Vashishta became the seven sages. The Satyas, the Veda Shrutas, and the Bhadras became demigods, and the Satyajit was selected to be Indra, the king of heaven. Dharmasya Sunritayam to Bhagavan Purushottamaha Satyasena iti kyato jatak satyavratai saha. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Sunrita, who was the wife of Dharma, the demigod in charge of religion. The Lord was celebrated as Satyasena, and he appeared with other demigods known as the Satyavratas. Sunrita Vrata Dushilan Asato Yaksharakshasan Bhuta Druho Bhuta Ganamsh Chavadit Satyajit Sakaha. Satyasena, along with his friend Satyajit, who was the king of heaven, Indra, killed all the unfaithful, untruthful, impious, and misbehaved yakshas, rakshasas, and ghostly living entities who gave pains to other living entities. Chaturta Uttama Brata Manur Namna Chatamasa Pritu Kyatir Naraketur Ityajya Dasha Tatsutaha. The brother of the third Manu, Uttama, was celebrated by the name of Tamasa, and he became the fourth Manu. Tamasa had 10 sons headed by Pritu, Kyati, Nara, and Ketu. Satyaka Harayo Vira Devas Trishika Ishwaraha Joytir Dhamma Dayaksapta Rishayas Tamase Natare. During the reign of Tamasa Manu, among the demigods were the Satyakas, Haris, and Viras. The heavenly king Indra was Trishika. The sages in Saptarshi Dhamma were headed by Joytir Dhamma. Deva Vaidritayo Nama Vidrites Tanaya Nripa Nashta Kalena Yayurveda Vidrita Swena Tejasa. O king, in the Tamasa Manvantara, the sons of Vidriti, who were known as the Vaidritis, also became demigods. Since in course of time the Vedic authority was lost, the demigods, by their own powers, protected the Vedic authority. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Tamasa Manvantara, there were two kinds of demigods, and one of them were known as the Vaidritis. The duty of the demigods is to protect the authority of the Vedas. The word Devata refers to one who carries the authority of the Vedas, whereas Rakshasas are those who defy the Vedic authority. If the authority of the Vedas is lost, the entire universe becomes chaotic. Therefore, it is the duty of the demigods, as well as the kings and aides of governments, to give full protection to the Vedic authority. Otherwise, human society will be in a chaotic condition in which there cannot be any peace or prosperity. Om Agena Timirandasya Ginandana Shalakaya Chaksurumilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yenabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavams Cha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. So, Hare Krishna, good morning. After a long time, I'm in Dallas. This lamp is a very nice feature, so we can see the book. Many temples cannot see it. Have to bring a torch. So this is history of the universe. It's not like so easy for us to relate to, but the principle, we can understand that there's always government, it's always different authority, and different people get these jobs or posts for whatever reason. All these personalities that are listed here, who they are and where they come from, and I'm not sure. But when we read, we see that the basic truths are there. And now, we have no one is protecting the authority of the Vedas. They're practically, they don't even know about the Vedas, or they downgrade them, or they think religion is, they know the world is in a chaotic condition, and they're blaming religion even. Of course, the irreligion that's in the name of religion, and the mode of ignorance, one thinks religion to be irreligion, and irreligion to be religion. Everything gets backwards. I just came from London, so the atheists have made an advertising campaign in London. Of course, it's kind of like a rebuttal to these fanatic Christian advertising campaigns. So they put on this buses, many buses, it says, probably there's no God. So now enjoy life. So they might have wanted to say there's no God, but then the advertising agency said that wouldn't be a good idea, because that would get a lot of, you know, heavy rebuttal. And then even the big atheist, the guy who writes the famous best-selling book that God is a delusion, and he said, well, you can't prove absolutely that there is no God, nor can you prove that there is God. So, blah, blah, blah. So, but they want to blame the chaotic condition of the world, which we certainly know about. It's the main subject of the news all the time. You know, everything is out of control. And we understand it's due to godlessness, due to neglect of the Vedic authorities, due to, you know, due to rampant sinful activities, and then all the reactions are coming. And they're trying to think of how they can increase all the sinful activities, but somehow or other not get the reactions. So I don't think it's necessary for us to learn all these history of all these different personalities who've taken these posts. But we see that, you know, people still make it, like now, today, I guess, is the inauguration of a new president. Now, the name does rhyme with Rama, so we're something people should remember that. Not so many English words rhyme with Rama. You what? Huh? Yeah. His chief. Really? Ram. Oh, really? Yeah, Ram is a common word in Israel. There's Ram Allah. That's one of the towns that's in Palestine. There's a village, Rama. There's a Rama Ghat. There's Ram Not. Many, many different Rama villages and stuff in Israel, and we saw a Rama synagogue. I didn't have my camera to take a picture of the sign, but it's right on one of the main streets of Tel Aviv. Rama is somewhere in Greek. Also, Rama means very great. So the word panorama, that's a Greek word, and from that they've come up with so many Ramas. You know, in America, whenever there's a big, big event, they call it something O-Rama, right? I used to like to go bowling when I was in junior high school. So there was a professional bowling show every Sunday morning. It was called Bowl-O-Rama. Anybody remember that? Bowl-O-Rama. That was my first, I guess, you know, they're telling you chant Rama, but Bowl-O-Rama, we wait for that. But you find Auto-Rama. I even saw a Hair-O-Rama once, some kind of hairdresser thing. So that's how Krishna puts his name here and there, everywhere, just to give people a chance. But the principle is there. So like everybody's all excited, there's a new president, you know, it changes. The ruler can never be always, except Krishna is always the ruler. But somehow or other, he makes all these arrangements with it. So even the whole universe has this structure of Indra, the king of heaven. And, you know, most people are totally out of touch with that. they might know about the ruler of their country, or not even that much, maybe the ruler of their family or, you know, their club or something. But everybody elects somebody to be the president of, you know, whatever they're doing, or somebody is a king, or somebody's something, and they have ministers and they have all these things. So that's, it's all just coming down, and Krishna made this structure to try to keep a little order. The Rakshasas, it says here, they don't care for the Vedas. They defy the Vedic authority. So even like Lord Chaitanya, he was lamenting one time with Haridas, and he said, how can these people be saved? That they're just dedicated to defying the Vedic authority, to, you know, abusing the brahmanas and killing cows, and how can they be saved? And he was worried. And then Haridas told him that he didn't have to worry, because the chanting of the holy name had already liberated everyone. Then he gave such a nice talk about the powers of the holy name and how Lord Chaitanya's chanting the holy name was freeing everybody. And then Lord Chaitanya was satisfied. And Prabhupada explains that this is the duty of a devotee, to try to ease the anxiety of the Lord, who's, you know, worried all this, what's going on. So the devotees take up this mission. Here we have some big, big Manu, or somebody who kills all the Rakshasas and Yakshas. The brother of the third Manu, Uttama, was celebrated by the name Tamasa, and he became the fourth Manu. He had, and let's see, who was it? Satyasena, along with Satyajit, the king of heaven, who was at that time Indra. So many Indras come and go. I don't know how they get elected, but it's sometimes even predicted, you know, who will be the next Indra. And this, you know, it's already arranged by Krishna. Not exactly an election by the common man, that everyone in the universe, including the Yakshasas. But the Rakshasas sometimes defeat Indra and take over the heavenly planets and create more chaos. So this Indra killed all the untruthful, impious, and misbehaved Yakshas, Rakshasas, and ghostly living entities who gave pains to other living entities. This is always going on in the universe. So now that it goes on, we have wars everywhere, and then we have other ways, but the Kali Yuga, there's such bewilderment that nobody knows. They think what's irreligion is religion, and what's bad is good, and that they can, you know, their happiness can come by having more and more sense gratification. Like now in America, there's so many casinos. When I was young once, but I remember we would go to Las Vegas for a holiday. And that was the only casinos in America. You had to take your pilgrimage to Las Vegas. Then they made an Atlantic City so that people from the East Coast wouldn't have to travel so far. And now they're everywhere. And they found all kinds of ways to bypass the state laws against gambling. They have offshore gambling in the boat, and river boat gambling, and Indian reservation casinos, and online internet gambling. And people are thinking that that's something very nice, you know, that they have this opportunity to get something. But the gambling is against the four regulated principles, and it's the most addictive thing, and it destroys honesty, has very bad effects, and nobody really wins in the long run. You know, everyone loses. But they're bewildered, and the government promotes it because people don't want to pay tax, and they say, well, it's a voluntary tax. The casino, whatever you bet there, may be a very high percentage is tax, but they don't care. They're thinking that, you know, I'm having fun, or I might win really big, and then I won't have to work anymore. And they advertise like, you know, you just automatically win. Sometimes I see the ads. I saw one that said, bet $50, win $1,000 or something. You know, like it's automatic. One in London, it said, phone in your bet and pick up your money here. Like it's automatic. You just call up and say, okay, I bet on such and such horse, and then you go down there and you get the money. If you win, but, you know, and they never have the, in L.A. they'll have the racetrack advertisement. They'll say, so many millions paid out, and, but it never says how many was paid in. And, you know, in the newspaper, if somebody wins the lottery, then it's a big, big deal. They tell everybody about it. But they don't tell you about all the people that lost. Even in the lottery where the investment isn't very big usually by one, but some people go completely bankrupt by that. They just keep buying more and more tickets and they keep thinking they're going to win that Powerball, $150 million or something. And even if they do, they usually go bankrupt. Because the law of karma is that money gained by gambling or by thieving or cheating, you can't keep it. You'll only have it for a certain amount of time. It's just a law of karma. There's nothing anyone can do about it. So they may get it quickly, you know, by some sort of gambling or cheating or stealing or whatever, but they can't keep that. But they're thinking that that's a good deal. And Kali and the Rakshasas are so influential in the media and in everywhere. In the entertainment business, you know, to convince people that sinful activities are really the real goal of life. And if you can somehow or other just get it together, then you can enjoy like anything and there'll be no bad reactions. But we have a world that's chaos. It says here, human society will be in a chaotic condition. So we don't have to get into the details, but especially this last... When did they start telling us about the economic crisis? I mean, like all the details of it, December. You know. It's always there, but all of a sudden it's like really, really bad. And Christmas shopping was really down this year, and people are really losing their jobs. And, you know, big, big companies are shutting down all their factories, and there's more wars and, you know, more diseases. So the world is in a chaotic condition, and that's the reason is they're neglecting the Vedas. So Lord Chaitanya, he came to revive that, this causeless mercy of Krishna, and given the essence of the Vedas, that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And of course, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, for those who have some philosophical interest, they want to know, you know, the truth, but we want to lift everyone up, so the devotees are... fortunate, in great fortune, Krishna's given us this knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is ultimately always about Krishna because all this, the universe is one little universe, but it's Krishna's lila that he creates this universe in order to give facility to the fallen souls. But the whole idea of it is to get out. There's also the arrangement of all the rishis and all the Vedas and you know, the saintly people and the avatars and everybody that comes to give us a chance to get out. So Lord Chaitanya came, and then since Lord Chaitanya, so many great acharyas have come. Of course, we're most familiar with Srila Prabhupada, and still is spreading all over the world. More and more people are, you know, reading Bhagavad Gita. People, this total chaotic condition and the miserable condition does make people more intelligent people, maybe to think more that there's some hope in religious activities, that happiness does not have to depend on how much you can increase your sinful activities. Like in London, I was there in December, and in spite of all the talk about the economic crisis and everything, it was in most of Europe, as far as what I heard, it was the biggest year for the December marathon. You know, everybody did more than last year. All the, you know, people were taking more books. Somehow or other, they're realizing something in spite of the buses. Well, the buses ads in London didn't come out till January. Probably there's no God, so now enjoy life. So that is trying to tell you that if there was God, you can't enjoy, you can't be happy. Because God, in their idea of God, these atheists, is the vengeful God who punishes everybody for any kind of you know, bad ideas or bad activities, they don't obviously know about Krishna. They haven't, if you look at their talk, they don't even know the Bible very much, but they're against that because they just heard this, you know, God will punish you, and, you know, like Santa Claus, if you're not good, you're not going to get any presents, so you better be good. Of course, so if there's no God, then you can enjoy, because there's no reaction. There's no one to punish you for your sinful activities. It was funny, I saw that the main atheist, that's a famous one, that his book is the biggest bestseller in the atheism department. He said he didn't write that. He said he would have rather had it said, do something good. You know, but that's still, just because there's God, you can't do good. The best thing you can do, the highest charity work you can do, is to give Krishna, to give knowledge of Krishna, to, you know, to take it and distribute in whatever way we can, distribute the holy name, distribute prasadam, distribute books, bring people to the temple. That's the real duty of a devotee. That's how to help. If enough people would take to Krishna consciousness, of course, the total chaotic, the material world is chaotic anyway, by material nature, that, you know, everyone is, the small animals are being eaten by the big animals, and, you know, everything, and is like that. Everyone is supporting someone else. So there's chaos, there's always adi devic and adi bhotic and adi atmic miseries. But it can be minimized, if, and at least for the people who are really Krishna conscious, they can live in a more simple life. They can be happy from within. They can be happy without having to have so many things that everyone thinks they need in this material world. Advertising is pushing you all the time, all the things you should have to become happy. Even religions, that many, they're just promising wealth and prosperity and blissful material life in the name of even Buddha or Jesus, who are completely renounced. They wanted to give up. You know, don't make your treasure in this world. Prabhupada said, if you look at the great, you know, famous acharyas like Buddha or Jesus or Muhammad, none of them said, stay here in the material world, try to be happy, make your, you know, palace, build your dynasty. They all said, get out, you know, get out of the material world. Don't make your treasure here. We have to live here for the time being, but utilize the time in Krishna's service. This chapter is only a couple more verses, so I'll just read the rest of it. In this manvantara also, the Supreme Lord Vishnu took birth from the womb of Harini, the wife of Harimeda, and he was known as Hari. Hari saved his devotee Gajendra, the king of the elephants, from the mouth of a crocodile. King Pariksit said, my lord, Badarayani, we wish to hear from you in detail how the king of elephants, when attacked by a crocodile, was delivered by Hari. Any literature or narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka, is described and glorified, is certainly great, pure, glorious, auspicious, and all good. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world simply by describing Krishna. We have published many books, including Chaitanya Charitamrita in 17 volumes, 400 pages each, as well as Bhagavad Gita and Nectar of Devotion. We are also publishing Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. Wherever a speaker holds discourses from these books, and an audience hears him, this will create a good and auspicious situation. Therefore, the preaching of Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully by the members of the Krishna conscious movement, especially the sannyasis. This will create an auspicious atmosphere. So we find this to be, you know, of course, Prabhupada says like this so many times. so many purports, so many lectures everywhere. This is the point. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam shimadatatam. Forget, but the gopis told that the one who distributes this Krishna Katha, this is the Amrita, and it is done by great souls, and it's all auspicious and all good for everyone. And anyone who is Buri Grinantiye, Buri Dajana, that anyone who spreads this Krishna Katha is the most magnanimous, the most munificent, the best person. And Lord Chaitanya, he liked that verse very much. And when the king Pratraparudra was chanted that one, Lord Chaitanya jumped up and embraced him and said, "You are Buddhida. You are the most munificent. Go on chanting, go on chanting." So we have this mission. The books are published, we keep publishing them. And devotees are just thinking one way or another how to hear them and speak them, whether it's to a big audience or a small audience, or one by one. Devotees are distributing books all over the world. In some places, devotees are giving discourses to huge audiences. Some places, we have trouble to find even one person. But it doesn't matter. The idea is to just do it, and this will create a auspicious situation, at least for those who are doing it. And the more that are doing it, it has a great effect. It can spread, and more people are appreciating. In some countries, very much. In Finland now, the devotees have been able to register as a university or something, and they can teach it directly, our philosophy. And they're called it. I just talked to the temple president. He said his voice is completely gone because he had to lecture so many times all the week before in so many schools, colleges and high schools and even junior high schools. He couldn't talk. He was worried about the next week because he had another full week schedule, and all the other devotees are going to other towns. And so, some places it's like that. And people want to hear. But everywhere there's people. Everywhere there's people. When devotees go out to preach, they'll meet people who are looking for Krishna, or they know something about Krishna. I went out in London. They have this Pandavasane, and so for the they go once a month. Usually they go on Saturday and they chant and distribute books. But in the marathon, they were trying to go every week. And it was a rainy, very hellish day in London weather that day, and I was thinking, it's impossible, I can't do this, I'll get sick. But then I thought, well, if I just do something, Krishna will help. So there's so many Indian people there, they come up and take books, and then I was thinking, I have to find somebody that's not Indian, that would be auspicious to break through. And then there was one girl there, and somehow she knew about India. She knew, Ganesh and Lakshmi, and she thought, she said, Lakshmi is the goddess of love, she thought. And I said, well, Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. And she said, oh, well, give me the Bhagavad Gita then, right away. So somehow or other, because of Indian culture being everywhere, whatever people know of, because of meeting devotees. Of course, we also had the so-called Christians coming and telling everybody not to take books. But they got tired of it after a while. But people want Krishna. Everybody wants Krishna. That the soul, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for pleasure. Krishna is the greatest pleasure. But they don't know. They're being Kali Yuga. They're misled, unfortunate. All these things are described. They're being told from day one, that either there's no God, these atheistic people, or, in London, one school teacher in the elementary school somehow told the class that Santa Claus was not real, it's actually your parents coming. And she got fired for destroying the faith of the young children. And the parents were complaining like anything, how can they do this? My child came home so bewildered and crying. And I don't know what became of it after that, because many people thought, yeah, she did good, you should tell the truth. Thank you.
But the atheist people that say there's no God, they're teaching at Oxford University. I'm a big professor at Oxford and publishing books all over. I went in the bookstore there in Cambridge, and they had a whole
shelf just for his books. And it said, read the Divine Dawkins. You know, he's got a book called The Blind Watchmaker that's, I guess, talking about the so-called idea of God, you know, that supposedly created everything. And they can broadcast on the television, on the radio, everywhere, and be... but if someone says there's no Santa Claus, they get fired from their job. And the Santa Claus is just a perverted reflection of the super soul, the idea that someone knows everything and watches everything you're doing and will give you, you know, good reward if you do good and not give you if you do bad. But it's a crazy world. But people are looking for Krishna. That's what they really want. They want pleasure. They want to be happy. They want to be free from anxiety. They want to be free from birth, death, disease, and old age. Nobody wants to die because the soul is eternal and it's not natural to die, to think it's all over. So Krishna will save everybody. Here it's predicting. The next chapter is the story of Gajendra. Everyone is familiar with that. Even an elephant, you know, in a desperate situation, he could remember slokas from his previous life, and therefore the Lord comes and saves him. So Prabhupada says there that we should memorize slokas also, because we don't know what the next life, we may take some kind of a dull body, but that memories will be there, those impressions will be there. If we can't memorize any other slokas, at least Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. The more we can spread that, the more we can give that to the world at large. Let them hear the holy name, let them chant the holy name. Let us hear. We talk about chanting, how many rounds did we chant our rounds, but we should also think, did we hear our rounds? Did we hear today? Chanting is not so hard, you know, Hare Krishna, we can do something. But to actually hear completely attentively, that's not so easy. With the mind rattling off with so many things we have on our mind. But if we just keep chanting and trying to hear, then it will break through. And when the holy name enters into the heart, then the mind becomes stunned, Rupa Goswami said that. We want to have thousands of ears to hear. It seems like, you know, two ears is not enough, and we want to have more tongues to chant more. And then the mind becomes stunned, and then the senses become inert, and the material senses are not chasing all over the place anymore, looking for this, wanting to touch that, smell that, hear this, hear that. Like we see everybody being dragged around by their senses, madly, everywhere in the world. But he just wanted to hear Krishna. And there's no loss. It's not like the world won't go on. It's not like Krishna's in charge of everything. And when there's yajna, when the demigods, when Krishna is being satisfied, then the demigods, they make things better as far as the natural resources and all that. Now that The human beings are just, you know, manipulating everything. They're exploiting the environment so much. They're polluting the environment so much. And in the name of making things better, you know, they're just destroying everything. And a few people are trying to, you know, do something better. Devotees are the leading edge, you know, with the Sankirtan movement, with worshiping the deities, with following regulated principles. These things are very powerful, but more and more people have to learn. But in order to come to that point, mainly everyone has to hear the holy name. They have to get purified, or they have to get prasadam and get purified. Prasadam has, you know, so much potency, even unknowingly, practically. In London, they've been doing so much prasadam distribution for so many years to the homeless. And you meet people there if you go out on Sankirtan that now they're okay, but they say, oh, the Hare Krishna saved my life when I was homeless. They were feeding me every day.
one devotee was distributing books in the parking lot, and one fellow was in the car, and he was eating a hamburger or something, and he was reading a porno. But when he saw that it was a Hare Krishna, he said, "Oh yeah, Hare Krishna." He said, "I was homeless for 3 years, but every day I was eating that Krishna food." And he said, "It changed my life." He said, "Now I quit the drugs, I quit drinking, I got a job now, and I'm much better off." And he was giving all credit to just the fact that he was eating prasadam every day. So the devotee told him, "Now you should get some better books to read," and he gave him a book. But the man could appreciate, he got that far, that he got off the intoxication, he got a job, and many people like that. There's a campaign in London to ban free food distribution, because they say that that will get the people that are on the street. If they can't get free food on the street, then they'll take shelter in the homeless shelters. That's their campaign. So they had the Parashurama, Food for Life man, on the radio, BBC, with the person who's promoting this, and some homeless. And the homeless all said, "Hare Krishna saved my life," the previous homeless. So the guy finally said, "Well, the Hare Krishna free food is okay." Because they do more than just feed people, he said. They actually try to help people. They're trying to give them, more. Actually, this devotee does much more. He arranges drug, rehabilitation, counseling, all kinds of things. But the food, people need food. That's their basic need, so they line up. But when they're getting prasadam, and they're getting Krishna, and then they know it's Hare Krishna's, and they start to think Krishna is good, Krishna is providing, and then they get purified. The devotees, they're just trying to think of whatever way we, in our whatever capacity we have, is the way it's stated, that everyone has different capacity. Not everyone is Lord Indra, but someone may be the leader of a small group. But everyone has some capacity to give the holy name, even if it's just to their own children. That then they're connected, they're doing the right thing, and that everything helps. Everything is part of a big push to get more and more people to know about Krishna, to expose ourselves, to let people have a chance to meet devotees again and again and again. When we go out to distribute, we meet so many people, "Oh yeah, I have the book," but they haven't read it very much or something. But when they meet a devotee, they get reminded, and then they might go home and start checking it out again. They might come to the temple. When we have facility and we have temples and we have restaurants, people will come, and then they get contact with Krishna. They're getting purified. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. So this purport is very typical of Prabhupada, the essence of Prabhupada's instructions. It's the end of this chapter. But this movement is spreading all over the world. We publish many books. Whenever a speaker holds discourses from these books and an audience hears it, that will create a good and auspicious situation. So devotees try to give as much as possible, be speaking to someone about Krishna. And many people are waiting for us, the universities and schools and yoga groups. They want mostly kirtan, right? Yeah, and they love it. So they get purified, and then they'll get Bhagavad Gita, they'll get to understand. So preaching Krishna consciousness must be done very carefully. We have to think about it, to do it right, and make plans, just like the karmi businesses make plans, how to find a market, how to provide what the people want, how to answer the phone in their company, everything, so that people will take to it. So everyone should be preaching. And the last verse says, Sutta Goswami said, "O Brahmanas, when Parikshit Maharaj, who was awaiting impending death, thus requested Shukadeva Goswami to speak, Shukadeva Goswami encouraged by the king's words, offered respect to the king and spoke with great pleasure in the assembly of sages who desired to hear him. So that's also another theme that we find, actually the main theme, I guess, of the exact conversation, that was the enthusiasm that Parikshit Maharaj had to hear was enlivening Shukadeva Goswami very much to speak. So if we can't speak very much, we can ask someone, you know, to tell it, to speak to us, and be anxious to hear, and that enlivens. If there's an audience, we get enlivened to speak. Nowadays in the temples, we're not sure how many audience there is. Sometimes there's a big audience out on the internet somewhere. In Los Angeles, people will say, oh yeah, I heard the class on the radio. Because the housewives and the people with children, they're busy at that time usually. But they turn on their computer or they turn on something and they hear the classes. And people are listening all over the world to classes from temples all over the world from faraway places. So, and many people just tune in, they just pick up. So when we know that someone wants to hear, then that's very good. And then they, and so if we just want to hear that, we should, everyone should want to hear about Krishna. That should, Lord Chaitanya wanted to hear. You know, he loved to hear. He was asking Ramananda Roy to speak. He would listen to Gadadhar Pandit reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day. The six Goswamis would get together and listen to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing and chanting, that they're not that one is better than the other. We need both. And to hear the holy name, then people are enlivened then to chant the holy name. People want Krishna. That's actually all anybody wants, but they don't know what is Krishna. They want the pleasure, but they don't know what is Krishna. So they're being misled that so many things are pleasurable, so many mostly sinful activities can give you great, great pleasure. So many advertisements for intoxication and meat eating, and especially for sex. Every advertisement practically is advertising sex. Right? That's what they use to show you that this thing will give you a wonderful, that kind of life. So people are thinking that religion denies all these pleasures. I know when I first joined, and I just recently saw this at Prabhupada's, there was some devotee, and then he left, and he wrote to Prabhupada, because in those early days, you know, people knew Prabhupada kind of personally. He said, you're denying the prime necessities of life. You know, sex and drugs. So Prabhupada said, what can I do? You know, if that's what you want, then you can't. He said, you can do those things, but you can't say you're my disciple. If you say you have to do those things, okay, you can do them, but you can't say you're a disciple. But they don't know the higher pleasure, so they think it's denial, you know, but the devotee is not feeling it's a denial that, oh, you can't eat meat or you can't, you know, watch television, you know. You don't want to, because we have a higher pleasure coming from Krishna. The pleasure, and the more we connect with Krishna and the more we chant the holy name, then we can feel that and actually live on a higher platform. Krishna loves everyone. And we love, everyone loves something. Everyone's looking for love and everyone wants to find someone that they can love, that will appreciate their love. And Yajnavalka said that those are the prime necessities of the human being, is to give love and to be loved. And many people know that, like Mother Teresa, very famous, she said the greatest hunger in the world is not for food, it's for love. If someone's not feeling loved, some, even a child sometimes, they won't even eat, they lose all interest in even living. They don't feel that anyone loves them. So we should understand how much Krishna loves everyone. He created this whole material world with all these demigods and all these, giving everybody engagements according to how much they're separated from him or how much they're coming closer to him, so that everything can go on ultimately, so that we can, you know, have a chance to get reformed and get out of here, to get become purified, to come to the point of meeting Krishna, knowing Krishna. So devotees are, Krishna comes, Krishna is devotees, there's temples all over the world, there should be more and more, there should be everywhere, every devotee, and it should open his home to, you know, having people come to hear about Krishna, or, you know, to get some prasadam, or in some way or means to, you know, even if we just go out and we have tilak, people think of Krishna, they don't even know, but they're getting purified, even to see a devotee. And if they find, if they get curious, and nowadays, it used to be everybody would ask us and be shocked at how we look. Now nobody seems to notice, at least in my experience. Nobody seems to notice anything. They just take us. But they need Krishna. They're very busy trying to, you know, change the chaotic condition of the world. But there's no material solution. There's no bailout, you know, by the government printing up a few billion, trillion dollars. More money isn't going to help anybody, right? Really. Everything they do, they know, is just some kind of stopgap. But they don't know the root cause. But we have to tell them. Even they know, but they don't want to pay attention. I went in Nigeria to the first National Convention for AIDS Prevention and Cure or something. So the World Health Association given Nigeria something like $9 million for that cause. So they had some doctors and they had different, you know, scientists. And then one Muslim guy got up and he said, this is all a sinful reaction. And Muhammad says something. And they said, yeah, we know that, but that, you know, shut up. We got to, you know, we have to get this. And the doctor was saying, well, we made a lot of mistakes, and, you know, but we're getting somewhere, and, you know, our research is getting somewhere, and we really think eventually we're going to find something. So let's put the money here and put it there. And then another Christian said something similar, you know, that it's the Bible and the sinful reality. Yeah, of course, but that's not important, you know. So they don't want to look at that. They don't really believe it. But it is the root cause is the sinful reaction. You cannot be sinful without getting a reaction. If you surrender everything to Krishna, then you can be relieved of the reaction, you know, pretty much. At least you won't make any more reactions. But you can't find any safe sinful reactions, like sinful activities, like they're trying to promote. Safe sex and filter cigarettes and, you know, all these energy drinks and so many things that are supposed to keep you going. Without spiritual realization, nobody can be really happy, because whatever they're basing their happiness on will be temporary. It's going to change any minute. But Krishna doesn't change. Krishna stays the same. So let us develop that strong desire to hear. That enlivens the devotees, and if we hear, we'll be able to speak also and learn these leelas. This Gajendra one is a very nice one, and everybody knows it. Example of Krishna's causeless mercy, and how doesn't matter what kind of body you're in, if you can just remember Krishna one way or another. So if we can utilize this human life to memorize, Prabhupada said there's so many prayers at Brahma Samhita, there's the Bhagavatam is full of prayers, that bhajans are full of prayers, and then ultimately the Maha Mantra, anyone can learn that. And if we try to just keep chanting that all the time and day and night and whenever, wherever we are, then that will protect us. At the time of death, Krishna will be sure to come and enter into our consciousness. You had that experience here. What was that Madhuri's name? Huh? Who? Kirtidaya. Yeah, I read that book. I felt like such a low, you know, so much dedication and miraculous, you know, staying alive in spite of so many conditions. The power of prayer, we can see now from this Jaipataka Swami I was just reading. He said all the doctors said nobody survives his condition, right? I was there. I heard the doctors say it, and many doctors. But the doctor did say, well, pray. But afterward, he said he didn't really believe that much about, he knew about Krishna, but he didn't really believe that much. But now he does. They didn't have no idea of so many people praying for something. And devotee's prayer is pure, completely depending on Krishna. So, and these have happened many times with devotees. One brahmachari in Chopadi had a heart attack, and they took him to the hospital. First they went to the wrong hospital, and they couldn't do anything there. And by the time they got to the right hospital, and that one, it just happened that a devotee was working in the heart section. And he was dead cold when they got there. And this devotee was so determined that he just kept doing all the different things they do. And the other doctors are saying, he's dead, you know, what are you doing? And then he was putting so much electric, you know, what they did. And they were saying, even if he isn't dead, you're going to kill him. You know, with such intense treatment. But this devotee just tried and tried and tried, and he came back. Now he's a brahmachari again in the ashram. Completely all right. So the ordinary doctors were saying like that, there's no chance. But the one devotee doctor, he said, well, he'd seen it so many times with devotees that the medical, you know, prognosis doesn't always fully apply. Because it's Krishna. The soul is eternal, so Krishna can do anything. But that's our business, is just to try to, in any condition, because we have, at some point we all have to leave these bodies, but to be practicing, you know, remembering Krishna all the time, one way or another. Shravana Kirtana, Smarana Vandana, Pada Sevana, Sakyam Atmanivedanam, you know, one way or another, be remembering Krishna and be connected with Krishna. And then everything will be very, very nice. So, I hope we can pick up on this mood of Parikshit Maharaj. Realize, you know, our death is imminent also. We don't know exactly like he did, but everyone is on the point, and the business is to hear about Krishna. So that's why Prabhupada very kindly arranged the Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. And temples are amazingly going on in almost every temple. Some sort of Bhagavatam class. Sometimes many, many people coming. Sometimes only a few. But now more and more are coming by the means of Kali Yuga's mercy, by the internet and by radio and YouTube and Ustream and all the different ways that people can hear Srimad Bhagavatam class. Now if you go on there, you can find so many Srimad Bhagavatam classes, old ones, young ones, ongoing ones from different temples. So it's special mercy. But we have to take advantage whenever we can and hear, utilize all the different iPods and everything in Krishna's service so that those people who make those things get purified and we all get purified. Utilize things for what they're really meant for. So I thank you all. It's a pretty good crowd here. What is it? Tuesday morning. And the deities are looking so beautiful. I was here when we moved into this place. It was quite a bit different at the time. And we had some, you know, we envisioned something great coming out of it, but it's getting better and better all the time. So we just have to reach out. The people are not so much inclined to go to a temple, but many people are appreciated when we come to them. So devotees try to find different ways to get out and meet people or tell people about Krishna one way or the other and give them that chance. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Kala Chandji ki jai. So we have any question or comment? Well, any? Yeah, well, I've been meaning to come here for some time, and I always get one more day here or there, and then I get in a rush. But any question or comment? No? All right, so chant the holy name, spread the holy name, read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, not only the class, but as much as possible. It's always auspicious for everyone. Danyam Swastayanam Mahat, right? It's auspicious and good and for everyone and everywhere. It's not just an ordinary book. Thank you very much. Shri Radha Kala Chanji Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.